Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
Jessica had photographed hundreds of houses, and most disappeared from her memory as soon as she delivered the pictures. She worked mainly for real estate agents, moving from one empty property to another. She knew how to make a narrow kitchen look larger, photograph around stained carpet, and find the best angle in a room with almost no natural light. The house Robert asked her to photograph was added to her schedule at the last minute. It belonged to a woman settling her mother's estate, and he hoped to have it listed before the weekend. Most of the furniture had already been removed, so Jessica expected to finish quickly. She arrived late on a Wednesday afternoon. The two-story brick house stood in an older neighborhood shaded by mature trees. Robert met her at the front door and walked through the property with her. The electricity and water were still on, but the home had been vacant since the owner died. A few pieces of furniture remained for staging, including a dining table, a sofa, and beds in two of the upstairs rooms. Robert needed photographs of the exterior, every main room, and the backyard. He left Jessica to work alone and asked her to return the key to the lockbox when she finished. Jessica began outside while there was still enough daylight. Nothing seemed unusual until she photographed the second floor windows. The window at the far end of the house was darker than the others. Jessica assumed the curtains were closed, but through the camera lens, she thought she saw someone standing behind the glass. She lowered the camera and looked up. The window was empty. The image on the camera showed only reflections from the trees and sky. One shadow had briefly resembled a person, but it disappeared when Jessica enlarged the picture. The first floor took less than half an hour. The rooms were clean, although the house carried the faint smell of furniture polish and closed windows. Jessica photographed the living room, dining room, kitchen, and a small office near the back entrance. Upstairs, she started with the largest bedroom. A bed frame and dresser remained, but the walls were bare. The second bedroom had been completely emptied and took only a few minutes. The final room was at the back of the hallway. Its door was closed. Jessica was almost certain it had been open when Robert showed her the house. She assumed the air pressure had moved it after he left. Old doors sometimes swung on uneven hinges when heating or air conditioning systems turned on. She opened the door and stopped at the threshold. The room was smaller than the others. A narrow bed stood against one wall, covered by a plain white spread. There was also a nightstand and an upholstered chair beside the window. Heavy curtains had been pulled back, but the late afternoon light did little to brighten the space. Jessica felt as though she had interrupted something. The sensation was immediate and surprisingly personal. It wasn't simply discomfort in an empty house. She had the distinct impression that the room still belonged to someone and that she had entered without permission. Jessica stepped into the hallway and waited for the feeling to pass. She had encountered uncomfortable rooms before. Vacant homes retained traces of the people who had lived in them, and estate properties often carried a sadness because someone's belongings had recently been sorted and removed. She reminded herself that she was there to do a job. Jessica positioned her tripod near the bedroom doorway. The first photograph looked too dark, although she was using the same settings that had worked throughout the second floor. She adjusted the exposure and tried again. The camera refused to focus. She cleaned the lens, reset the camera, and changed her position. The image sharpened briefly before blurring again. When she aimed toward the nightstand instead of the window, the focus worked normally. Jessica took several pictures from different angles, planning to correct the lighting later. With each photograph, the pressure in the room seemed to grow. She felt watched from behind, even when her back was against the wall. Near the bed, the air was noticeably colder. The heating system wasn't running and the window was securely closed. When Jessica stepped away, the temperature felt normal again. She moved to the far corner for one final wide shot. As she looked through the camera, something shifted in the reflection of the window. Jessica turned quickly. No one stood behind her. The house was quiet except for traffic passing outside. She checked the hallway and the other bedrooms. Although she knew the front door was locked and Robert had already left. When Jessica returned, the bedroom door had moved halfway closed. She gathered her equipment and carried it into the hallway. Before leaving, she took one final photograph from the doorway. The camera focused without difficulty, and the room looked brighter on the screen than it had moments earlier. Jessica closed the door and finished photographing the backyard. As she loaded her equipment into the car, she glanced toward the dark upstairs window. The curtains were open. She could see the chair beside the glass and the edge of the bed. No one stood inside. That evening, Jessica transferred the photographs to her computer. The exterior and downstairs images looked good enough to require very little editing. The first two upstairs bedrooms were also fine. Then she reached the back bedroom. The pictures were darker than they had appeared on the camera. The corners of the room seemed strangely shadowed and several images were slightly blurred. Jessica adjusted the brightness and moved through them one at a time. In the final photograph, the room was clear. The bed, nightstand, and chair were exactly as she remembered them. The window reflected the doorway behind her, along with part of the upstairs hallway. Jessica leaned closer to the screen. A dark shape stood in the reflected doorway. She enlarged the photograph, expecting it to break apart into shadows and pixels. Instead, the shape became more defined. It appeared to be the upper half of a woman standing several feet behind Jessica when the picture was taken. Jessica stared at the image, trying to determine whether she was looking at a reflection, a coat, or something left in the hallway. Then she remembered that the hallway had been empty. There had been nothing hanging on its walls. Jessica studied the photograph for several minutes. The shape in the reflected doorway was too indistinct to identify as a person, but it was darker than the hallway around it. The upper portion resembled a head and shoulders, with the rest disappearing behind the reflection of the bed. She compared it with the photograph taken immediately before it. The angle was nearly identical, but the doorway appeared empty. Jessica moved back and forth between the two images, looking for a coat, a shadow, or anything else that might explain the difference. Eventually, she decided the shape was probably her own reflection distorted by the window. The camera had been mounted on a tripod, and the light behind her could have created an unusual shadow. That explanation didn't entirely make sense, but it was enough for Jessica to continue working. She selected the best pictures from each room and corrected the lighting. The back bedroom required more editing than the rest of the house. Even after she increased the exposure, the room looked dim and uninviting. The final photograph was the clearest, but the dark shape remained visible in the window. Jessica cropped part of the reflection and adjusted the contrast until it looked more like an ordinary shadow. Anyone viewing the listing would probably never notice it. She sent the completed photographs to Robert shortly before midnight. As Jessica closed her computer, she felt a sudden pressure near her left ear. It was similar to the sensation of descending too quickly in an airplane, except it affected only one side. She swallowed several times, waiting for it to clear. A faint sound came with the pressure. It resembled a woman speaking from the other side of a closed door. Jessica couldn't distinguish any words, and the sound disappeared almost immediately. She sat very still, listening. Her home was quiet, the television was off, and no music played from a neighboring apartment. Jessica checked the hallway and kitchen before going to bed, but she found nothing that could have produced the voice. She slept poorly and woke several times with the uneasy feeling that someone was moving around outside her bedroom. The following morning, Robert replied that the photographs looked good. He planned to have the listing online by the end of the day, but asked whether Jessica could brighten the back bedroom a little more. The seller wanted the room to feel less gloomy. Jessica reopened the files, and the moment the first bedroom image appeared, the pressure returned to her ear. It was stronger this time, accompanied by a quick rush of cold air across the side of her face. She turned, expecting to find a vent blowing toward her, but the nearest one was across the room and closed. When Jessica minimized the photograph, the pressure eased. She opened it again, and the sensation returned. Feeling increasingly foolish, Jessica repeated the test several times. Whenever the bedroom filled her computer screen, her ear seemed to close, and a faint murmur passed close beside it. When she switched to an exterior photograph, everything returned to normal. She adjusted the bedroom images as quickly as possible and sent the revised files to Robert. That afternoon, Jessica left for two scheduled photography jobs. Both houses were occupied, and the owners remained nearby while she worked. She was grateful for the company, although she said nothing about what had happened. Her camera worked normally until the final room of the second house. As she aimed toward a window, the focus began slipping in and out, just as it had in the back bedroom the day before. Jessica lowered the camera and reset it, and the problem stopped. She finished the job and returned home before dark. Robert's listing was already online, so Jessica clicked through the images to make sure the photographs displayed correctly. The back bedroom appeared near the end. It still looked darker than the other rooms, despite her changes. The reflection in the window was small enough that most people wouldn't examine it closely, but Jessica knew where to look. When she enlarged the picture, the shape no longer appeared to be standing in the hallway. From the cropped angle, it looked as though the figure were just inside the bedroom, watching her take the photograph. Jessica knew the image hadn't changed. She had simply noticed more now that she understood what she was seeing. Even so, she immediately closed the listing. A soft click came from the equipment bag beside her desk. The zipper was closed, but a narrow line of light showed through the opening. Her camera had turned on inside the bag. Jessica removed it and checked the switch. It was in the on position, although she was certain she had turned it off after her last appointment. Assuming it had been bumped while she carried the bag, she started to switch it off, but decided to review the most recent images first. The final photograph should have shown the upstairs bedroom of the second house. Instead, the screen displayed a dark, badly blurred picture Jessica didn't remember taking. It appeared to show her own hallway. The timestamp indicated that the photograph had been captured less than a minute earlier while the camera was zipped inside the bag. Jessica enlarged it, but the image contained little detail. A pale section near the center might have been the hallway wall, while a darker area could have been the bedroom doorway. She deleted the photograph and removed the battery from the camera. That evening, Jessica avoided her computer. She made dinner, watched television, and tried to convince herself that fatigue had connected several unrelated problems. Cameras malfunctioned, reflections created strange shapes, and pressure in the ear could have a physical cause. At a little after 10, she heard a footstep in the hallway. Jessica muted the television and listened as another step followed. It was slow and soft, like a bare foot moving across the floor. She checked the front and back doors. Both were locked, the windows were closed, and no one else was inside. The hallway remained empty. Jessica returned to the living room but left the television muted. For several minutes, she heard nothing. Then a third footstep sounded closer to the doorway, and the pressure returned to her ear. This time, the woman's voice was louder. Jessica still couldn't make out the full sentence, but she understood two words. The first sounded like "my room." The second was "picture." The pressure released and the house became quiet. Jessica remained on the couch until nearly morning. She didn't reopen the photographs, but she could see the dark computer screen from where she sat. Sometime after midnight, the monitor turned on by itself. The real estate listing was open and the back bedroom filled the screen. Jessica stared at the computer from across the living room. She had closed the real estate listing earlier that evening, and the monitor had been dark for hours. Now the back bedroom filled the screen again. The image showed the narrow bed, the nightstand, and the chair near the window. The dark shape remained visible in the reflection. Jessica moved closer without sitting down. The photograph hadn't changed, but the larger screen made the reflected figure easier to see. It appeared to be an older woman with her head turned toward the camera. No facial features were visible, and the lower half of her body disappeared into the darker portion of the glass. The pressure returned to Jessica's left ear. This time, the voice came from directly behind her. Jessica turned so quickly that she struck the edge of the desk. The hallway was empty, but she heard a soft footstep near her bedroom, followed by another closer to the living room. She looked back at the screen. The photograph remained open. The voice came again, still compressed and distant, but Jessica finally understood the sentence. The woman wanted her to take the picture down. Jessica reached behind the computer and pulled the power cord from the wall. The monitor went dark and the pressure in her ear disappeared. The footsteps stopped at the entrance to the living room. She remained there for several minutes, afraid to move. Nothing else happened, but the house no longer felt empty. Jessica had the same uncomfortable sensation she experienced in the upstairs bedroom, the feeling that she had entered someone else's private space and refused to leave when asked. It was too late to call Robert, but Jessica sent him a message explaining that there was a problem with the back bedroom photographs. She asked him to remove them from the listing as soon as possible. Then she opened her laptop, located the original files, and deleted every image of the room. She removed the edited copies as well and cleared them from the trash folder. The listing photographs remained online because Jessica couldn't remove those herself. She returned to the couch and left every light on. The house stayed quiet for nearly an hour. Then a camera shutter clicked inside the equipment bag. Jessica knew the battery was no longer in the camera. She didn't open the bag. A second click came from inside it, followed by a third. Each sound was spaced several seconds apart as though someone were taking photographs around the room. The pressure built in Jessica's ear again. She didn't hear a complete sentence this time, but the same two words repeated beneath the sound of her own pulse. Jessica called Robert despite the hour. He answered sleepily, and she apologized before insisting that the bedroom pictures needed to be removed immediately. She didn't explain everything. She told him the photographs contained a reflection that could look like a person and shouldn't appear in a public listing. Robert logged into the listing from home. Jessica remained on the phone while he removed all three images of the back bedroom. The clicking inside the camera bag stopped. Robert asked what kind of reflection she had found. Jessica sent him a cropped screenshot she had saved earlier without thinking. He studied it while they were still on the phone, but couldn't identify the shape. It might have been Jessica's shadow or something in the hallway, although he remembered that the room had been empty. Once the bedroom disappeared from the online listing, the pressure left Jessica's ear. The atmosphere inside her home changed almost immediately. She no longer felt watched from the hallway, and the silence became ordinary again. Jessica thanked Robert and promised to explain more the following day. Before ending the call, she deleted the screenshot she had sent him and asked him to delete his copy as well. She slept on the couch until morning. Robert met her for coffee that afternoon. Jessica told him everything, beginning with the dark upstairs window and ending with the voice in her home. She expected him to think she had allowed an uncomfortable photography job to frighten her, but he listened without interrupting. He had returned to the house that morning to make sure nothing had been damaged. The back bedroom door was closed when he arrived. He couldn't remember whether he or Jessica had left it that way, but when he opened it, the room was noticeably colder than the hallway. Robert had stayed only long enough to check the window and furniture. The seller wasn't angry about the missing photographs. When Robert explained that a reflection made the room difficult to use, she told him to leave it out of the listing. She then admitted that her mother had always been extremely private about that bedroom. During the final years of her life, the woman spent most of her time there. She kept the door closed and disliked anyone entering without knocking, including members of her own family. She also hated being photographed and often turned framed family pictures face down when visitors brought cameras into the house. The seller didn't know why her mother felt so strongly about photographs. She assumed it came from growing older and not wanting people to see how frail she had become. The woman had died in a hospital, not inside the bedroom, and the family had never reported anything paranormal in the house. So that was all Jessica learned. Robert suggested photographing the room again after the remaining furniture was removed, but Jessica refused. He respected her decision and listed the space as an additional bedroom without including a picture. The house sold several weeks later. Jessica experienced nothing else after the photographs were taken down. Her camera worked normally, and no more unexplained images appeared on the memory card. The pressure in her ear never returned, and she heard no footsteps inside her home. She continued photographing houses, including vacant properties and homes being sold after an owner's death. Most felt exactly as she expected them to feel, quiet, impersonal, and ready for someone new. Jessica never claimed that the woman's spirit followed her home through a photograph. She understood that cameras malfunctioned, reflections created convincing shapes, and exhaustion could make ordinary sounds feel threatening. She couldn't prove the figure in the window had been the late owner. Still, none of those explanations accounted for the voice or the way the activity stopped the moment Robert removed the bedroom from the listing. Jessica no longer had the original photograph. She had deleted every copy, including the cropped image she sent to Robert. Part of her regretted losing the only evidence of what happened, but she never seriously considered trying to recover it. The woman had wanted the picture gone. Jessica believed she had spent two nights refusing a request that had first come as discomfort, then as a whisper, and finally as a voice inside her own home. Once she listened, whatever followed her had no reason to remain. Since then, Jessica has paid closer attention when a room feels occupied, even when it is empty. She still takes the photographs she is hired to take, but she no longer assumes every space is hers to capture simply because someone handed her a key. Some rooms are empty without being abandoned, and some people value their privacy long after death.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.